Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Bunganyi. Greetings to all our listeners. I want to thank you for joining us on the show. As always, for those who want to catch up on our previous episodes, you can catch us or check us out at voanews.com. That's our website, voanews.com. Look for Upfront. We are also on all social media platforms, so be sure to connect with us on there too. I'm at Upfront Africa on Twitter. Our keywords on Facebook is Upfront Show VOA. Remember to subscribe, like, and let us know where you are checking in from. Now, let's get into the show. It is fair to say that we are living through historic times. I mean, how else would you describe the events that have come to define the last 12 months? For starters, we are living through the first global pandemic of our lifetime. In America, we had a historic election that will forever remain part of a global conversation on the values of a functional democracy. This election was the first time in American history that peaceful transfer of power was not assured. Now, if you have been following the news, you know what I'm talking about. Now, that transfer of power is the bedrock of democratic society. And yet, as research shows, in the last 4 years, there has been what some have described as a democratic recession in many parts of the world. In Africa, they point to countries like Uganda, which recently held an election. Ugandans went to the poll on 14th of January this year to elect the president and the parliament. Incumbent President Yoweri Museveni, who has ruled the country since 1986, won his sixth term.
He is Africa's third longest-serving president.
Meanwhile, Uganda's opposition is disputing the election results, calling for an investigation into widespread election violence and allegations of fraud.
I survived 3 assassination attempts on the campaign trail, and I continue to live in fear. I had to get my family out of Uganda. My house is constantly, frequented by people that I don't know.
That is Mr. Robert Chagulanyi, popularly known as Bobby Wine, a local member of parliament and a leading contender. He says that elections were characterized by widespread violence and human rights abuses that still continue to this day.
This is his first time addressing international media since the election results were announced. His house had been surrounded by the military and police. They only left after court intervened.
I cannot guarantee my safety. However, I always try as much as possible to put my plight, our plight, out there so that if I'm to face anything, nasty, at least the world knows that the regime here in Uganda is looking out to eliminate not just myself, but all voices of dissent.
Local and international human rights organizations are also calling for an investigation into the arbitrary arrests and beatings of opposition supporters and even journalists. This situation led Amnesty International to call on Ugandan authorities to, quote, reverse the persistent use of excessive force by the security forces, arbitrary arrests and detention, and attacks on journalists, end quote. Bobby Wine says that even after the elections, the violence did not stop.
Right now, as we speak, more than 3,000 of our supporters, fellow leaders, and officials of our party have been arrested. Some we know where they are being detained, while others we don't know their whereabouts. My singing partner, Nubian Lee, and my music producer, Dan Magic, and my entire campaign team, which was rounded up in the islands of Kalangala on the 30th of November, they continue to be under incarceration. Even when they were rounded up with me, all of us were arrested. I was handpicked and airlifted by the military only to be detained in my home. The rest were charged for illegal possession of a magazine, a gun magazine, and 4 bullets. And here I'm talking about 46 people. And up to now, they have been denied bail, even when many of them, the last time they came, they were brought to the military court martial. was Monday, and many of them were in so much pain. The girls could not walk after a lot of torture, but still they were denied bail so to enable them access advanced treatment. As we speak, I have already mentioned that our office continues to be under siege. I've already mentioned that abductions and disappearances are ongoing. People are being picked up at night from their homes, and they are disappearing, not to be seen again.
A few days before the elections, the government shut down the internet across the country and ordered internet service providers to block access to social media.
Social media continues to be switched off. Right now, I'm using VPN to be able to communicate to you. Having switched off the internet completely a day to the polls, it was restored later, but social media is still restricted. No Ugandan can access social media apart from besides using VPN. However, the Minister of ICT and Information came out and announced that it is illegal to be found using social media or to be found using a VPN. And indeed, anybody that is found, accessing any social media channel, even when we pay a tax on that. But the minister announced that they would be arrested.
Bobby Wine and his team are now working to present their case before the country's Supreme Court. The same court has had petitions related to previous elections. He says that he has enough evidence to prove his case.
Even when so many people in Uganda are disagreeable with the judicial system and are disagreeable with going to the Supreme Court of Uganda, because they are aware that General Museveni basically controls all state institutions, the police, the military, the Bank of Uganda, and the courts of law. And also, having seen in the previous electoral petitions, one of 2011 and the other of 2016, where it was clear that the election was supposed to be nullified, it was not. And indeed, following the confession of the former Chief Justice of Uganda, Professor Kanye Hamba, who said that indeed the election was supposed to be nullified, but the justices of the Supreme Court were intimidated by the military. Many Ugandans have no hope in the Supreme Court. But because we believe in the rule of law, and we believe in challenging the institutions and making sure that they're independent, we have proceeded to the Supreme Court of Uganda, and we have left it to the justices to, show justice.
Aside from these videos of officers stuffing ballot boxes, do you have any other evidence that you're going to present to the courts? And are you confident in the judiciary, given the precedent you mentioned of the past petitions to these courts?
Thank you. Thanks, Jackson, for the question. Sure, we have large amounts of evidence. We have qualitative evidence and quantitative evidence, besides the videos of police officers and soldiers ballot stuffing, voting for people or coercing them, or even taking away our agents from the polling stations. We also have evidence of pre-ticked ballot papers that were brought for stuffing and were seized. However, I also must mention that we have quantitative evidence. For example, we have evidence of people that are that were registered voters and they passed away. But again, according to the Electoral Commission, when the results came out, the purported results, everybody had turned out and vote. Everybody had turned up and voted, and that explains why General Museveni apparently got 100% of the vote, as in 100% means 100% of the registered voters actually voted. And yes, 100% of the registered voters voted and voted for General Museveni, even in areas where we have assurance that quite a few people died and they were registered to vote in those polling stations. I must also mention that we have quantitative evidence of discrepancies in the numbers and the results that were presented by the Electoral Commission.
He says that he has evidence which he will be presenting to the court, evidence that shows that the process and the results were rigged.
Besides, in many of the strongholds of the National Unity Platform, results were altered. Where I got, for example, 350 votes, I was given zero. And one of the most unlikely candidates was given my results. According to the report that was posted on the website of the Uganda Electoral Commission, I had gotten zero and my results were given to another candidate. But the declaration of result forms that we have show the exact difference. And not only that, in very many areas, we've been able to analyze the data that was provided by the Electoral Commission and the data that we have, and there are clear discrepancies which we are going to present before the Supreme Court of Uganda.
You're listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. Let's take a quick break while we listen to what Ugandans think about the recent general elections in their country.
I'm Abdul Nasser. I don't think my vote counted because this has been the third time I'm voting since 2011. But the things that we aspire as Ugandans do not get to be realized in the governments that emerge as winners. Personally, the only single thing that I think the incumbent, President Museveni, can ever give us as a gift is a peaceful handover of power, either through retirement or conceding defeat in an election, and in an election that has been organized in a free, fair environment. But I haven't seen any of that coming. That is why I think my vote did not count. The way forward, I think we need to keep our fingers crossed. As far as the election petition, the presidential election petition is concerned, and see that the recommendations that court gives get to be implemented so that it prepares us for better and meaningful elections.
Hey, I'm Julius, I'm a consultant. Yeah, my vote counted because the person I voted won the race. And that's the way to go. With democracy, the winner takes it all. So we just say people should wait for 2026. That's what God has given us.
My name is Ivan. I'm a business person. It is only a person who has just come to Uganda who can say that the 2021 election was free and fair, because a lot of things that we witnessed, we saw a lot of ballot stuffing. The security forces got so much involved into the election activities, which I believe really compromised the fairness factor of this election. And one point that many of the actors that we've had talk about is where the results were coming from. Where are the results that the Electoral Commission boss was announcing? Where were they coming from? Because many of our stations, from the different polling stations where people voted from, the results were being announced, and people had hope that those very results would be translated, maybe reflected at the district tally centers and again reflected at the national tally center, which didn't happen. The EC only says that for the presidential elections, the constituency is a whole, the whole country is the whole constituency, which I believe is only being used to suppress the voices of the people, because what the people voted wasn't reflected anywhere. My vote did count.
My name is Rita Kemgisa. I'm a journalist based here in Kampala. Well, about the 2021 general election, I feel, of course, I have mixed feelings. I feel it was more of like the usual rhetoric. People go to the polls and they elect, and they're not sure about probably the results, or they are sure, but they know it will not have a true representation of what they wanted. Well, from my own analysis, prior to the election, I'll call it the pre-election period, we witnessed a lot of violence, a lot of intimidation from us, the state of journalists. And the same thing happened through the election period, even during the voting days, and even the days after, before the election results were actually announced. So it's from this that I say I feel the results or the election doesn't count that very much for Ugandan, because I know people down there who did not vote, who felt scared or intimidated. And like the way it is even right now, very many of the Ugandans are agitated, many of them are not happy. They feel the results were not a true representation of what they, you know, that day when they went out to cast their vote, they feel it's not what they got. So all I can say is I feel maybe it doesn't count for the country. It's just a usual election that people went for, and there are those who voted, there are those who didn't vote, and at the end of the day, there are those who didn't vote, but the results show they voted. So it creates a mixed picture. Yeah, that's what I can say.
I do my own businesses. I'm not employed by anyone. I think my vote was, I think it was important, because I managed to vote peacefully and went home. And my country, no, I would recommend people to go back to their workstations and work, because the elections are done. We might not change anything more. The results were out and they are clear, so I think everybody should go back and work. Wait for 2026, and maybe if they want to change a leader, they will change in that election. But for now, I think we are done, we have the results, and we know who won.
Those were voices of young Ugandans on the streets of Uganda's capital, Kampala. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. If you're just joining us, we are talking about elections in Africa with a focus on Uganda. The opposition is challenging election results that were announced by the Electoral Commission. Mr. Robert Chagulanyi, also known as Bobby Wine, fresh from home detention, is using VPN to talk to us after government shut down internet and access to social media in the days leading to the elections and weeks after.
Bobby Wine says that the shutdown was part of the effort by the government to impede the opposition from sharing polling data.
Uganda has 34,000 polling stations. We made an effort to deploy our agents on all polling stations, and many of them were arrested. We didn't manage to get declaration forms from over 4,000 polling stations, because those were more than 4,000 of our agents were actually arrested the day before or on the day of the election. Now, 10,000 declaration forms were intercepted and confiscated by the military and the police through the night raids, through the waylaying of our agents, and some of them are still in incarceration, others are still missing. So about 10,000 of our declaration forms were taken away. However, we are in possession of 20,000 declaration of result forms. So out of the 34,000, we have at hand 20,000 declaration forms. And those are adequate to point out the discrepancies in the results.
Western observers have also expressed concern over the validity of the election results. They noted that the conditions in Uganda, including the internet blackout before and after the election day, and the heavy use of force by security agencies, had made it difficult for a free and fair process. But Bobi Wine is calling on international partners to do more than just talk.
We are glad that the international community is speaking out. But we would be glad if these are not just words, but followed by action. We have constantly called upon our development partners to make the respect of human rights, the rule of law, and respect for democracy preconditions for cooperation with Uganda. So we would really, really receive with gladness any reconsideration of cooperation with Uganda. And yes, our message to the donors and donor community is the same. We are asking them not to substitute rights for cooperation, not to substitute rights for the apparent stability, because peace is not just absence of war. Peace is a presence of justice, and there's no justice in Uganda. We have a military dictatorship that has oppressed the people of Uganda for 35 years. And we call upon the international community not to continue appearing like their partners in crime with General Museveni.
Earlier this year, Bobi Wine petitioned the International Criminal Court of alleged torture and other human rights abuses by security forces. The petition names several government officials, including the president. But Bobi Wine is also calling on his supporters to continue with their campaign of nonviolence.
We are a party that believes in the rule of law. And indeed, even when so many young people are so angry, so agitated, and many of them calling for violence, we have prevailed over them to also disregard violence, because we believe in legal ways and a peaceful means of resolving conflict. We have decided to go to petition this election in the Supreme Court of Uganda.
I'm Anita Nadule. I think presidential-wise, my vote, I don't think it really counted, because it was really expected. I mean, there was going to be a ridge. So I don't think my vote president-wise counted, but I think for the other positions like LC3s, mayor, and other stuff, I think those were fair elections, because I really think that those were the people that really deserved to be there are there, and the people who don't deserve to be there were really kicked out. Yeah, I think people should not give up, nevertheless, even if votes are being rigged or what, I think people shouldn't give up. There's always room for change in the future. You just keep trying. You don't just give up like that. Yeah, I think they should continue to vote.
My name is Mkodi Chibongo Paul. No, it was just no sense. It didn't make any sense. It was a waste of time. And voting in Africa, most of countries of Africa, voting does not make sense. Because every leader of Africa doesn't want to lose leadership. That's why I end up by saying voting in Africa does not make sense.
I'm Senior Jopita, I'm a banker. Do I feel whether my vote counted? Yes, it counted. And I feel so proud of the elections and the outcomes of the election.
My name is Mubiru Eric. I'm a business person. Yeah, and I'm a Ugandan citizen. Yeah, I did vote. I do, because the results came out and they announced the winner in a humble and peaceful way. Yeah, that's what I think.
My name is Andrew. I think
it's both. The vote counted in some parts, and in some parts it didn't count at all. Especially when it comes to electing the president, I don't think our vote was really counted on that. I think the results were... The result didn't determine whether we voted or not. Two, when it comes to electing members of parliament, I think there was, our vote had big muscle. And way forward, I think government should consider these results to rethink about people's opinion, to rethink about how our economy is hurt, because this, I believe this was a direct message from the people, whatever they are not happy about and whatever they are happy about.
Bobby Wine, who is also a musician, was pleased that MTV Base, a popular international television station, had cancelled its popular annual MTV African Music Awards that were scheduled to be held in Kampala. The awards were cancelled after an online campaign spearheaded by civil rights activists.
I must express my shock on the knowledge that MTV was going to hold their MTV Awards in Uganda. As a musician, as an artist, and as a Ugandan, of course, it was demoralizing for MTV to know that here in Uganda, there's no freedom at all, not even for artists. I'm one of Uganda's most known artists, but my music was abolished because the president does not like it. It was abolished. I cannot be allowed to perform. Even before COVID, I was not allowed to stage a show. My music is abolished on TVs and radios. As we speak right now, three other musicians, in fact, and a music producer are in prison. They are prisoners of conscience simply because the president does not like what they sing or what they stand for. So it was painful to see that MTV was being used to sanitize the oppressive nature of the regime here in Uganda. And we learned from some sources, of course, we are not sure of what they're saying, but we learned that many government operatives were actually taking part in the arrangements of the MTV Awards. So it was disappointing and painful. I did not personally raise it because I did not want it to seem like I am, you know, taking it personal. But I am glad that MTV is also seeing it and acting in respect of the rights of all the artists, because there's no freedom until all of us are free. It would be such a shame for the MTV Awards to be held in Uganda under gunpoint, and the oppression of other artists and musicians.
That was Ugandan legislator Robert Chagulanyi, also known as Bobby Wine. And with that, we come to the end of our show. Many thanks for tuning in, and thanks to our correspondent Mugume Davis, who was on the streets of Kampala. Remember to connect with us on our social media platforms. We are on Facebook and on Instagram, and I'm on Twitter at Upfront Africa. Until next time, as our wise men say, rain does not fall on one roof alone. I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, wishing you a blessed week ahead.